Frank Cusimano.
Shooter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss. And that's the winner. That's the winner. A World Series winner for the Cardinals.
The best guests, the best insight.
Lofton with his team down by two. To the corner. Caputo!
All backed by over 20 years of covering the biggest events in St. Louis sports.
Blues have the puck, bounces off the wall, shoots, and it's in! They score! It's the St. Louis's! Pat Maroon! Bring out the Zamboni! Pat Maroon just put the city on his shoulders, and he sends them to the conference final!
Now, here's Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan, KFNS, and 590thefan.com.
All right, we are really excited about today's program. First hour in studio, Rob Raines and Alvin Reed. We're excited, lots to discuss. What a thrilling baseball game last night, but I want to get a quick Kansas basketball thought because you two are here. I read last night the too early top 25 poll, and Kansas was five or six, two five-stars coming in, that Harris coming back, a transfer from Texas Tech. The well is hardly dry in Lawrence.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that I think you lost some.
You lost a lot.
And they were upperclassmen. There were people that stayed there for 3 and 4 years. So that's always difficult to replace. But, I mean, they should have a pretty good team coming back. I put it this way. They are a top 10 team. Yeah. Easily.
And is there any word, do you read any word about when the penalties could come down?
I haven't seen nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, and the latest is, all right, now this independent organization that now is involved, here we are two and a half years later, and the latest out of them is we got some new I don't want to call it evidence or whatever, new material, information. And it was during the NCAA tournament. It was in March. Okay? And they said, well, that put us back. I said, well, when are you going to have a decision? Like, well, that, you know, that delayed it. So right now, there is still no idea when this, whatever's going to happen, is going to be announced. And we're on into a third season now. It's
crazy.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And the big surprise at the NBA draft was Christian Braun going 21st to Denver.
I hadn't heard anything about him being a possible first-round pick.
Yeah, it was late second to maybe even a free agent. And then Josh Kroenke, who seems to like Missouri people or that region with Linus Klaza, with Michael Porter, giving him not only drafting him but giving that excessive contract.
I thought that Braun could go in the first round. And truth be told, I showed up a day earlier, so Frank and I quickly discussed this yesterday. I thought that he would go low first round, and my wish was that he dropped all the way to see if Golden State could get him. I think he got overdrafted a little bit based upon the tournament and you know, some games that he played, but he went long stretches that where he just—he's
a nice player. I mean, he can help you. He can help a team win.
I agree. I don't know if he's 21st.
Yeah. My only beef is if you're 6'7" small forward and you shoot 1 3 a game. I mean, you have to make threes in that league, especially at that position.
Yes, right.
And he just didn't shoot the ball. He wasn't a bad shooter. He just wasn't a willing shooter. So I mean, maybe that'll change.
Right. He turned. You know, he played well.
Yeah.
In the combine.
He played well for the
scouts, and I think that counts. I mean, they take you like, well, you're not playing for Kansas right now. We're playing pro basketball, and we're scouting you at that level.
It seems like he showed up for the big games.
Yeah, and he played well.
Yeah.
Like I say, in front of the scouts and in front of the during the combine.
Yeah, and as we talked about yesterday, he'd have these 3-minute stretches where he'd get a block, a dunk, a three, a rebound, an assist, boom, 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 and he'd change games.
You're right, and he has a pro mentality, has a pro attitude. He's a crap talker. He'll let you know what's going on, so he won't be intimidated by anybody, and I think that works in his favor, too.
All right, now that we've ticked off all the Missouri fans by talking Kansas basketball, let's get to the main entree here today. I think my takeaway from last night is Ryan Helsley. And it's absolutely insane. I don't know how you can hit a guy who throws 100, then throws 79, and nobody has hit him. It's a .30 ERA. Rob, what are you saying here?
.083 is the opponent batting average. He's given up 8 hits and 105 batters.
God.
So, I mean, you know, he's walked more guys than he's allowed hits. which is 9-8. So he's headed for a phenomenal season. I mean, the save total is probably not going to be as high as maybe the Isringhausen or Ryan Franklin totals, because they split up that job so much now the way that Ollie's doing it, and they're bringing Helsley in sometimes in not a safe situation if it's the time when you can't actually save the ball game. So he's going to, from a national perspective, people that only look at the save total probably won't realize how great a season he's having. I hope he makes the All-Star team because he deserves it.
I think so, too. I, if you look around, I mean, you've got your Givens, Hader, and some others, but I don't see how you keep him off as a reliever. Because it isn't like your starting pitching is going to dominate the All-Star team anymore. Those days are over.
No, they're only going to get an inning, too.
Yeah, right. No, they're going to need guys to get out there and pitch an inning or two, because, even if you were dominating right now, starting pitchers don't want to pitch in more than one inning in the All-Star game anymore. So, yeah, I think he'll get a shot.
It's unbelievable when you think about it, because it's a franchise that's been so loaded with incredible closers, Hall of Famers like Suter and Smith and Eck, Isringhausen, a Cardinal Hall of Famer, and this could end up being the greatest single relieving season we've ever had. I mean, if he's at .5 at the end of the year, how could you doubt it, right?
True, but I also, I look at who you're going to bat against, so I don't compare him to what was 10, 15, 20 years ago. I just can't do it. Baseball has changed. If you don't care if you strike out, people strike out. If you don't move runners along, that keeps your ERA low. Baseball's just played differently now. This first year with the designated, well, not the first, I guess last year, right? But you got a full-time DH now. That works in the pitcher's favor. I just don't think you got enough guys that actually can hit. All you're doing is putting another guy in there that makes outs.
I did see some. What's the top, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but the top hitting team in the league right now, their batting average is like 260 something or whatever. The league average used to be like 270 something.
Right.
So I mean, there's going to be the top team in the league is going to hit less than the league average was 10 or 15 years
ago. Where are home runs now, though?
They're probably up.
Yeah.
Probably. Right. But
without looking, I don't know. Sure.
Horrible pitchers have decent strikeout to walk ratio.
Like a 4.0 ERA is considered good now.
Right.
Bob Gibson would laugh.
Right. What I'm saying. I just think that it is not necessarily the pitcher. Wait, I'm not taking anything away from anybody. Got an 0.8 ERA. You're getting guys out whether they are, taking good at bats or not. But I think there's just so many just poor at bats, just lack of getting something done in the batter's box. And it's perfectly all right if I'm carrying a 220 average, as long as I hit an occasional home run and drive in some runs. It doesn't matter that I'm not even hitting 250, 225.
Okay, looking ahead with Helsley, and I'm sure he's told you this, he's told me this in the clubhouse maybe a month ago. He wants to be a starting pitcher. Mm-hmm. He's out of central casting to be a closer like Trevor Rosenthal.
Yeah.
But if in this offseason, the way it looks, the Cardinals probably have a shortage of starting pitching. If he says, look, I want to be a starter, the Cardinals will probably give him that opportunity. They'll bring him to spring training and try to stretch him out and see how it goes, right?
I wonder if what happened with Jordan Hicks will change that.
But there's a little difference because Hicks has been fragile for a while.
Right. I know that. I realize that. But I'm just saying, to me, and I know he wants to be a starter. I'm not downplaying his interest in wanting to start, and there's a reason for that, because starting pitchers make a lot of money, and traditionally there's more opportunities to be a starting pitcher, whether it's your same team or become a free agent, other teams, whatever. But to me, I think, especially day and age, the way we talked about how the game is played, to me, I would overpay him as a closer and say, look, you're more important to our ball club to be the closer than to worry about being a fifth starter.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I would say, you're made for this role. You can do this for 10, 15 years, and maybe you don't do it for us your entire career. Maybe your next contract is your big one, but you can sign it as a closer if we kind of, I won't say overpay you, but make it worth your while to be our closer for 3-4 seasons.
So I think a couple things have changed. I think they probably got more than they expected to get out of Pallante this year. And I think he's, you have to, let's ride that the rest of the year and see what happens as far as being a go-to starter kind of coming forward. And then you've got, you know, you've got a couple of kids coming that maybe they're still a year or so away, but Gordon Graceffo in Springfield, he's going to be a future starter in this rotation. 2 years at the most, he'll be here.
But yeah, it's 2 years. That's, you're right in the prime of Nolan.
I know, but what I'm saying is, I don't think you move Ryan Helsley out of the closer role for 1 year as a starter. I think if you think he's going to be a starter for the next 5 years for you, okay, then maybe you think about it.
And why couldn't he be at this age, knowing the uncertainty of what you have on that starting staff right now? You don't know if Jack Flaherty's ever going to be really good again.
Right. No, he could be. I mean, and you're right. He probably will come to spring training. There's no harm in him coming to spring training and stretching him out as a starter, unless he gets hurt.
Yeah.
And then, you know, putting him back in that role if it happens. I mean, what's Alex Reyes' future? You know, I don't know. I can't answer that question. We don't know if Wainwright's coming back for next year. Right now, I would bet that he will be back.
Me too.
For another year.
I know it's a really small sample size, but what you saw out of Junior Fernandez last night.
You have to be, you have to be encouraged
kind
by
of
that.
Material. I'm not saying he's going to be, but
yeah,
wow.
You have to be encouraged by that, sure.
Yeah. No question. All right, let's get to Flaherty. And I thought Jeff Gordon had an interesting contrast of Alcantara and Flaherty. And they were both studs in 2019. Alcantara has continued, and he got the $56 million. And who knows what's going to happen with Jack. What's your take on Flaherty, the whole saga of the last 72 hours?
Well, I think that if you are going to be that person, A, you can't be injured, and you have to win games, okay? I think he catches a lot of flack for the things he has to say unnecessarily. But at the same time, hey, this is, you're a big guy. It's a man too, okay? You can't perform the way you have, decide you're not going to pitch in AAA, then come back, and then be in the paper talking, you know, and all that. So, like, you gotta win games, all right? And you have to be out there, and you have to pitch. And to me, it's just kind of like the back and forth. It doesn't matter. It just, that doesn't matter. You have to be out there, and you have to start winning games. And that's all that matters. And I think he can still do that. I still don't know. Maybe you know more about just how injured he is this time, because none of us know.
Yeah. Rob, do you think when he took himself out of the game and the Cardinals in that little exchange may have said, we need another inning. No, I can't. Do you think they were kind of ticked off and said, okay, you're injured. We're going to shut you down for 3 weeks. You see how injured you are. You think there's a little bit of anger sending a message? And also, you know, the fact that he was the one who said, I need to pitch in St. Louis and not Memphis.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we weren't in that conversation in that room when they made that decision. So who, you know, what the back and forth was between them, I'm not sure. I think I thought he needed one more rehab start, if not two more rehabs. And I'll say this for this reason. How many starts does a pitcher get in spring training? Five, you know,
yeah,
if it's a full spring training.
Four, yeah.
And I think that's, they just didn't view, they were trying to get him back. I mean, obviously, if Jack Flaherty is healthy and he's pitching the way he is, he's the best pitcher on this club. He's one of the best pitchers in the league. So you would want that in rotation. But I think they just didn't. And I know what he's talking about the intensity as opposed to just the volume of number of pitches. That number of pitches is important, but the intensity of pitching major league hitters is different, too. But I just think they should have just, as long as they took to get him before he started a rehab assignment, that's when basically spring training should have begun. And I said, okay, we're going to treat this just like a spring training for you. And replicate, you know, the number of pitches, number of starts, and then go from there. And they just didn't do that. And I think, you know, it's tough because, you know, who's got the hammer anymore, you know, in baseball? I mean, they want the pitchers to, or anybody that's a player, they want them to be, take ownership of their own career and be, you know, their own best advocate. But at some time, you know, management may have to be the bad guy here.
Would this have happened 10 years ago where the player would have had the power?
No.
Yeah.
And I mean, but I mean, the team didn't have to activate. I mean, yes, the player has the option. He doesn't have to go on a rehab assignment. If he says, I'm not going, the team cannot make him go. But the team also doesn't have to activate him and pitch him. They control who's on the roster.
That's what we were talking about this yesterday at work. Same thing. I said, well, your option would be like, you can do what you want to, but that doesn't mean I'm going to put you out there on the mound. You can pitch.
If I don't think you're ready, I'm not going to pitch
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I'm not going to pitch you. I'm just not going to do it. You'll pitch simulated games. You'll do whatever. Don't go. I think maybe the Cardinals would be had been better off doing that. I will say that I don't know that whatever happened to him, I guess don't any of us know this. We don't know what happened to him. It could have happened if he was pitching in AAA.
Correct.
He might be in the exact same position he is now. And not to say
that, oh, see, you should have brought him up to the bigs and let him pitch. But the exact same thing could have happened.
Yeah, but what he probably needed in hindsight 2020 is two more starts of muscle memory repeating that delivery, because that was the biggest thing. I mean, velocity wasn't unbelievable, but it wasn't bad. But his delivery and his mechanics were just a little bit off, right?
But yeah. I don't know why he hurt his arm. I don't know what's going on right now. That's the.
I think he's been hurt for a while.
I would tend to agree.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know why. I mean, why did they kind of, I don't want to use the word baby, but I mean, that's basically what they did in the COVID year in 2020. You know, I mean, he didn't hardly ever pitch that whole summer. And as far as we know, there weren't any health-related reasons, but I bet now that there were. And then I think the oblique injury last year really kind of threw him off a little bit. And I think when he tried to come back, I think he probably, you know, was overcompensating for whatever that injury caused, and that's how you end up hurting your shoulder. Shoulders are, you know, people always look at Tommy John surgery and elbow injuries and stuff as the pitchers, but if you're going to pick one or the other, you'd rather hurt your elbow than your shoulder.
Yeah.
If somebody has a really bad shoulder injury, it's just almost impossible to come back for that. That's just the nature of the beast. You can fix elbows. It's a lot harder to fix shoulders.
Yeah, I didn't think about that 2020. Now, 2020, I didn't care how any team handled any player, because that was a wash.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I'm thinking this, you know, full-out sprint to make the playoffs and then all that. I just would not have put any of my young pitchers in any kind of situation where they might have hurt themselves. Now, and that's all I thought about, you know, Flattery that summer.
Right.
Like, I don't know that.
That's my own speculation. Yeah, I can't prove that. Nobody's told me that. I'm just wondering now in hindsight, you know.
Yeah, and you made me think about it, because that's all I thought about 2020 was like, not worth it. Not worth it. Mm-hmm. But maybe you're right. Maybe he was hurt.
Boy, and I can imagine if he doesn't really produce this year, how difficult that arbitration is going to be. I mean, how could you give a guy a raise if he wins two games, you know?
Well, they'll probably not end up in arbitration this go around. They'll probably give him a raise, because you can't, you know, everybody gets a raise.
Even if you win two games.
Well, you can't go backwards. Yeah. And you're still, you got promise. I'm not saying it'd be a big raise. I put it this way. If they go to arbitration, you probably lose this time. So if they were going to bump you a little bit, maybe you might want to just take and avoid the frustration.
We actually settled this year, right? Which surprised me.
Oh, that's right. That's right. They went back, they were close
to a deal, but they, maybe, you know, close to going there, but they actually settled.
All right. So looking forward the rest of this season, what do you think makes sense in terms of moving a hitter for a pitcher if you do have to address it? And in terms of hitters, not just the guys here, you have Burleson, Gomez, Wynn, Walker, who you won't trade, and then, of course, Bader, Carlson, O'Neill, Yepes. You got a lot of interesting names, and I know you don't want to trade any of them because you love them all. But if you got a real shortage on the starting staff, which they do, and there's going to be pitchers available at the deadline, what do you think here?
Okay. I think that if I was another team, I would probably be looking at Tyler O'Neill. If I was the Cardinals, I might want to try to move
Bader
because I think Bader's
I wonder what best his trade value is
right now. Yeah.
What do you think? Does Bader have a good, decent trade value?
Oh, yeah. If you could put him on a club that didn't necessarily need his offense, you know, if all you want to do is go out there and win a gold glove in center field and bat ninth and hit, you know, 270 and steal you.
My favorite outfield right now when O'Neill's back is O'Neill, Carlson in center, and Donovan in right. And then Yep as your DH.
Right.
But or do you think that Bader's defense and his speed, you've got to play him? I don't think so. If Yep has hits.
Let me put this way. I don't think you would trade Bader before the trade deadline. To me, that would be a winter time deal. Okay. Yeah.
You're going to have to move somebody, probably. I mean, you are.
If O'Neill's healthy, he'd probably bring you the most trade value right now.
He's also the only guy that's going to hit 34 home runs with a 900 OPS. And he was getting back to that right before he got hurt again.
And he has been hurt. He was hurt last year, too. And I'm sure.
But I think this
can be hurt as long as he hits 34 with 900.
If he ends up with what he's got.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, what do you think Goldschmidt's final numbers are going to be? You think Arenado can get 30 still?
Yeah, I'm talking about the outfield. The outfield.
But
I mean, he's your most dynamic offensive player. And in addition to being a two-time Gold Glover. Right. I'm leery about trading O'Neill.
Yeah, I'm not. Well, I'm not saying I would want to trade him. I'm just saying if you're looking for, depends on what you're bringing back. I mean, if you're going to trade a guy like that, you have to bring a guy who's going to be in the top half of your rotation, like a two or three starter. And he's going to be after a guy that has 2 or 3 years of control left.
Right.
You're not going to trade him for a rental, you know, fourth or fifth starter for the rest of the season.
Not that Madison Bumgarner's killing it, but what would you have to give up to get him?
Prospect.
A prospect. I was going to say not a starter, not anymore.
Well, like, you don't want to give up Mason Wynn, do you?
No. I'm not trading him.
And you're not giving up Alec Burleson?
I might.
Okay.
In the trade. Because, again, depending on you, you're not going to play six outfielders. You know what I mean? You're going to have somebody. Somebody's going to either change positions or move. And I think long term, I think you're talking about Jordan Walker being an outfielder too, 2 years from now, because he's not going to play third in St. Louis unless something dramatic happens. So, you know, you're going to have outfielders here. You're going to have more of the outfielders than you need.
All right, let's take our first break. Alvin Reed is with us, St. Louis American. Rob Raines, covering baseball for over four decades. Cole, take it away, sir.
Yeah, let's start this off.
Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. I recommend following at Rob Raines, because after every game, his account with some great stats and great numbers and observations, outstanding. You probably are also the only one who's seen Moises Gomez in person.
And in this room anyway, probably, yeah.
Yeah, not in the world. 23 home runs and an 1,100 OPS, promoted to Memphis. 23-year-old Venezuelan outfielder. That's all I know about him. You tell me about him.
Yeah, he's legit, I think. I mean, the Tampa Bay liked him, but I think he just had a couple of down years and was going to become a minor league free agent, and just they released him so he could go play winter ball in Venezuela, and then the Cardinals scooped in and got him. I mean, really kudos to John Vooch and the Cardinals front office for making that happen, because he's I don't think anybody predicted that he would do, you know, what he's done to this point in the season. And he's a guy that's going to strike out. You know, he's a prototypical player. I mean, he's going to strike out a lot. But the question was, could he hit enough? They knew he was going to hit home runs, but can he hit for high enough average? And he's hit over 300 at Double A. So, I mean, that's the big difference in his game, is that he's now becoming more of a contact hitter. He can beat you other ways than just hitting a home run.
How old is he?
23.
All right.
I just said that.
I'm sorry, I didn't. I'm sorry.
Come on, man.
It's slowing up.
I'm listening to
Rob Raines. I'm not listening. I mean, you know, we go through and do the, you know, I always rank the guys, you know, at the end of after the trade deadline, and he's going to be in the top five. I mean, I don't think there's any question he's now a top five prospect in this organization. There again, he's another guy. You talk about all the outfielders coming up through this system. I mean, he's a DH outfielder. I mean, that's the only corner outfielder. That's the only two spots he could play.
So is he at least average offensively, or is he below?
He's above.
Defensively,
he'd be average at the best. Okay. At best.
His pride
arm
of,
is okay.
You mentioned the pride of Oakville, John Vooch. Do you think he actually went to Venezuela, or you just
saw video
and then?
That was just based on scouting reports, and he was, you know, John always is a guy that is one of his jobs is to prepare the list for the Rule 5 draft each year in the minor league. So he's got his nose in all the minor league guys, and when he saw he'd been a guy that had come up through the race system, so he played against the Cardinals in like the Midwest League and stuff. So I think there were eyes on him, you know, for a couple of years in the Florida State League as well. So they had reports on him for their own scouts over the years.
And would you agree that with the guys they've brought up, Donovan, Yepes, and then you add Burleson, Wynn, Gomez, Walker, Gorman, this is the best young group of hitters we've ever had, offensive players?
It reminds me of the group that came up together from Memphis, like Freeze and Descalso and John Jay and all those guys.
Boy, probably a higher upside.
Probably higher upside offensively, yeah. But, I mean, all those guys kind of coming up together through the ranks. They played together in the minor leagues. All these guys played, you know, Donovan, Gorman, Yepes. They all played together in Peoria. They all played together in Springfield. They all played together in Memphis. I mean, they played together in the Fall League. So, I mean, that kind of group has kind of risen through the
all
ranks
right, what
together.
About, let's go back a little further. Langford, Pena, who else came? They all played together, AA, AAA, to the Cardinals.
Gilkey?
Gilkey
was a little bit ahead of that.
Maybe a little bit ahead of that. This is when I was in Arkansas. They were still there, and this would have been 88.
Yeah.
But this is a better team.
Yeah, no. I'm just saying just like three or four guys come in kind of right at that exact same time.
What about Paul DeJong with 11 home runs and 156 at-bats in Memphis?
Madison Bumgarner.
Still hitting about 220.
Paul DeJong, he couldn't get you Madison Bumgarner, could he? Or?
You talk about putting a prospect in the deal, too. I mean, you could put him in the deal and it'd be basically a salary situation.
Well, that would be awesome because there's really no spot for him.
No, there's not.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think the best thing for Paul DeYoung is to go somewhere else.
Yeah, there's
nothing against him, but I just think that the future of this club is Tommy Edman at short and Nolan Gorman in second. And you don't want DeYoung to be a part-time player or a DH, I don't think either.
Ozzie said the other day at the golf tournament, I asked him about Edman at short. He goes, look, he's a middle infielder. He's been a shortstop his whole life. He can do this. And he said he could have played with us.
I'm amazed that some people were surprised how well he's played at shortstop.
He had played shortstop. I mean, that's my whole thing was that, like, and not that I was any good, but I could tell you that, hey, if you play infield and your arm is strong enough, that's a position that is almost easier to play.
And as smart as he is, too, yeah. I mean, there's no question. He's going to win a gold glove at shortstop, too.
John Stupers tried to recruit him at Yale.
Yeah.
Because, you know, at Yale, you could only recruit a certain amount.
Right.
And his
ACTs,
yeah, it was on the – I think he made the right decision. What about the Gorman transition to second base? I think that has surprised people. But you know what, though? I asked Gorman the other day, I said, what position did you play growing up? You know what position he played?
Second base.
Third? Shortstop.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, everybody in the major leagues played shortstop in high school.
And pitched.
And pitched.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you were a star player and you played infield, you probably played shortstop. Some high schools had super teams where they, you know, had a guy for every position, but most of them, even good ones, would still, you want that guy to play shortstop, to be the anchor of the infield, and
Jack Flair played third base.
Really?
And he thought he was going to be a third baseman, not a pitcher.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people thought that Gorman would be almost like a Dan Ugla type.
Yeah.
But no, this guy has
too
skills.
He's too good of an athlete, too good. You know, but he's 22 years old.
What do you think his numbers will look like a year from now when he's playing every day offensively? What's his season numbers going to be, or 2 years from now?
I still think he can hit 30 homers.
So what?
It may be, you know, 280 average, somewhere in that range. I don't know that he's a 300 hitter.
And a 30-home-run Cardinal-hitting second baseman is unheard of. You got to go back to Roger Hornsby.
Doesn't happen very often.
But that goes once again to how the game is played and how people get pitched to and all that. I'm still amazed at, you know, I know Arenado's coming up behind him, but why Goldschmidt sees 2 and 3 and 4 pitch to hit every at bat? I don't get it. I mean, so like, until this guy stops scorching the National League, why are people messing with him?
Yeah.
I just get it's played differently. Gorman, I think he's all that. I think he is. Don't get me wrong, but I do. Before I start passing long time judgment, I got to see him over the course of another year and a half. Defensively.
Would you bet $100 that Brendan Donovan is going to be an everyday, really productive big leaguer for the next 5 years?
I wouldn't make that bet.
Too early, huh?
Too early for me, yeah.
One of those at-bats are so sophisticated, and he goes the other way, triple down the left field line, home run to right field.
I hear you. I'm just not ready to.
What about you, Rob? Would you bet the $100 he's an everyday player, real productive?
But every day, maybe, but not the same position.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Kind of like Edmund was early. That first year in Edmund's career where he moved around all over the place. Mm-hmm. I think that's what they like about him, is to be able to give guys a day off here and there and move him around. I think his best position long term is second base, but I don't see him winning that job over Gorman.
Mm-hmm.
If he had to go and play him at one position.
Carlson's numbers still aren't glitzy, but in the last, like, 3 or 4 weeks, he looks like the guy we've been really high on.
Mm-hmm.
What about Carlson moving forward?
He's on my team. I've seen enough of him over the last couple of years that he's on my team. And I pretty much got him slotted in right field. And then that depends on who gets traded and what happens and all that. But I have him slotted as one of my starting outfielders.
He's 23. He's already played in the big leagues for 2 years, so it's only going to get better.
Yeah.
What's scary, though, is that Brandon Woodruff has come back. Burnson has been unbelievable. Their eighth and ninth inning guys in Milwaukee are really good. Mm-hmm. That unless you address the pitching, I don't know if you pull ahead of the Brewers. I mean, with that pitching staff.
The Brewers had built up what they had, a 4 or 5 game lead, and the Cardinals got hot, and they were just losing every night. And then you just woke up one day, and they were back in first place again. It's like, man, we were treading some water, you know, while they were just falling apart for that stretch there. And we didn't take advantage of it enough. And I think that really, you know, like, what do they do? They swept over the weekend, and we fooled around and lost 2 out of 3 to the Cubs. And that's, you know, it's like, it isn't necessarily what they're doing, it's more of cases what we're not doing. And it definitely was that a month ago, because they didn't win, what, they lost 10 out of 11 games, and we caught them, but we didn't take, we didn't pass them. We didn't really take care of them. And it plays out. And Milwaukee's been hurt, and they said they got their guy back last night, and he was just unbelievable. Mowing cash down.
It may come down to who's better at the trade deadline, the Cardinals acquiring a pitcher or the Brewers acquiring a hitter. Because you know Milwaukee will
go. I was going to say, they've always been pretty aggressive at the, at the deadline in terms of their,
you know, and I don't know what they can do. You know, what they have prospect-wise, it seems like we have more tradable items than they do, but it seems like they always end up putting somebody in there, like, man, that, they got a better player than they thought they would. And they'll find a way this year, too. If they can keep Lawrence McCutcheon going. Andrew, look at me. God, showing my age. Jeez.
Pretty good player, though.
Yeah, pretty good player. Football, but.
He was with the St. Louis Rams as a scout. Remember when he came on the field?
Yeah.
All right, Rob, what about the most interesting question in baseball is, why isn't Christian Yelich, or one of the most interesting, why isn't he Christian Yelich anymore? I mean, the injuries, they should be long over. Why is this guy a mediocre player now?
Hard to say. And without having watched him every day, you know, I don't really have an answer for it. I mean, what happened to Paul DeJong? I mean, you know, it's the same to me, you know, what happened to Alan Craig a few years ago. You know, I mean, it's just unfortunate, you know. Even Matt Carpenter, you know, I mean, you could say that too about it. You know, I mean, it's just unfortunately sometimes that happens with baseball.
Carpenter, you could say age.
How old is Yelich?
Probably 29.
I think he's older than that.
I think he's old. I don't know for sure.
I think he's in his 30s.
But I'm just saying sometimes age is a relative term too.
And he just
30. He's 30.
30. All right.
Which isn't old, but he, I don't know what happened.
He can hit the ball in a sweet spot, and it just doesn't go anywhere. And that's the part I don't get. It isn't like he's a strikeout machine.
Not to change the subject, but to change the subject. The most interesting question to me in baseball this week is what's going on with the Minnesota Twins pitching coach.
Wes Johnson. Oh, takes the LSU job?
Yeah. He leaves the team in the middle of the season to go back to become become the pitching coach at LSU, and he doubled his salary, doubled his pay. I mean, the SEC is paying a pitching coach $750,000 a year in baseball.
Tony Vitello, from DeSmet, highest paid baseball coach in the land at, I think, 1.5.
At Tennessee,
At Tennessee.
I don't know whether it says more about the SEC or whether it says more about Major League Baseball.
I think it says something about Major League Baseball.
That a guy, I mean, you know.
Wait, so what? Do you know what the number is he got at LSU?
$750,000.
So he was making $350,000.
It was $350,000, $400,000, something like that, basically, with the Twins. Yeah, which to me, I think is high for Major League coach, too.
It is.
The pitching coach?
Yeah.
For real?
I think that's high.
Thought he would have made about what he was making at LSU.
No, you'd be surprised how little they pay all the coaches on the staff. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you. They get there 2 hours before the players get there, and they stay an hour and a half after the players leave.
They work harder than anybody.
You know, they make $150,000 or $200,000.
Oh, wait a minute. I didn't realize that. Now, I'm really perplexed here.
We stumped out there.
That.
I mean, they're part of the pension plan. So, I mean, they are making, you know, the licensing money.
That's right.
And stuff like that, which is probably almost exceeds their salary.
All right.
And then they're, you know, once they get vested in the pension, obviously they're, you know, set for life financially from the pension standpoint. But the actual raw base salary is lower than you think.
In terms of pension, is it over 200,000?
For a full, it depends on when you take it.
You're right.
You know, you can take it early and get less, or you can wait till you're, you know, and if you're, depending on whether you're fully vested or not. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, Brian Boehringer, who comes in here from time to time, he said he's just started taking his early, that his financial guy said it makes better sense to take it at this age of 50 than wait till you're 60 or something. So. Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a short time out. Cole, take it away. We're with Rob Raines and Alvin Reed. We'll be right back.
Let's tell you about our friends over at Hollywood Casino. You guys know that Hollywood Casino is the title sponsor of the Press Box. And you guys also know that Hollywood Casino, it's a casino. It's a
Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
All right, welcome back. Alvin Reed, Rob Raines with us, Hollywood Casino Press Box. We'll talk hockey with Andy Strickland at 11:20, 5 for Frank at 11. Okay, so tonight we're going to see Sandy Alcantara for the Marlins, who's one of the top pitchers in baseball. And we go back to that Marcell Ozuna trade. I think it was Sierra in that deal who's still in the back in the minor leagues. Castano
and Zach Allen.
Yeah. You know, when they made the trade, Ozuna was coming off such a monster season, and the Cardinals' offense was not good. It's tough second-guessing it, but, boy, it hasn't worked out. You'd love to have Sandy Alcantara in your rotation right now.
Well, he did his – Ozuna came here and did his part. They made the playoffs. And I think they won one series. Or, you know, I mean, technically, he did what he was brought here to do. Then you didn't keep him. So he's gone, and you don't have Alcantara anymore, and then he's kind of a lights-out pitcher. I wish he pitched for a better team.
Yeah.
I really do. I mean, last, by the way, got a question here. How do you score that a base hit? That
the Goldschmidt one?
Yeah. I don't. Like, what is that? Okay, so at least five.
Yeah.
All right. But on back to Sandy. No, boy, he looks pert good. And if he could just stay healthy, he looks like he's got his mechanics down. He just throws the ball so easy wish we had him. But when you trade somebody, that's part of it.
How do you remember that whole circumstance?
Well, I think it's one of those things that, you know, we had seen just a little bit of him here, you know, and his minor league numbers were okay. But I don't ever remember him being considered a top, you know, five prospect.
No, he was just a promise.
You know, I mean, he was a young guy that they signed as an international free agent that was coming along through the system. But, and as I say, I think they had thought he had some potential, but I don't think they, yelled a gun to somebody's head. I don't think they would have predicted he would have had the success that he's had so far, him or Gallen, either one.
Mm. What young pitcher in the organization do you love?
Gordon Graceffo.
He's a potential closer or starter?
No, he's a starter. I'm going to see him Friday night in Springfield. Yeah, he's in Springfield. Was a fifth-round pick last year out of Villanova. And he just shot through the system. His numbers are unbelievable. So yeah, he can hit close to 100 as a starter. He doesn't really, but he'll hit 97. He'll be here in 2 years at the most.
And what are your impressions of Matthew Liberatore at this point?
I still think he's a major league starter. I think he'll get the start this weekend, and when Flaherty, you know, his turn comes up. And I think he's growing into the job. Again, he's 23 years old. I mean, I think he's going to be a future middle of the rotation starter here for a long time.
I'd like to see him get his chance to start and start, you know, repeatedly.
All right. Andy Van Slyke brought this up the other day. Yadier Molina should be with the club. There's no reason he should not be with the club unless there is a serious family issue in Puerto Rico. Bob Ramsey rationalized it by saying yesterday, basically, that, hey, he really wasn't going to come back. The Cardinals begged him to come back. They knew what they were getting. So it's no big deal. I don't know. There's no way you're getting the same amount of treatment on your injury, and you should be working with your young catchers, too. I don't know how they're allowing this.
I agree with you. I would have maybe left. Right after I got, you know, hurt. Once we determined, like, okay, I'm going to be gone. It's like, hey, I'm just going to fly down, take care of some stuff. I'll be back a week from today or maybe a few days from now. I could see leaving, okay? I don't get – I when that whole, like, he's off. He went to Puerto Rico. I'm not, like, hardline dude, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But I don't get that. And I understand you're at the end of the line. I understand that this is your last season. And I understand that technically you don't owe the Cardinals anything. But with that being said, man, who wants to go out like that? Come on. You got these young cats trying to catch. And
especially Herrera, because I know he thinks a lot of Herrera. You know, he could really be helping him.
You could be here and just help.
He could be kind of the Pujols-Yepes relationship.
Yeah, isn't that beautiful to see?
Yeah. It could be that, just like that with Herrera.
Yeah. And Yadi, I mean, you technically don't even have to be at every game.
Is it nine starts with Wainwright to break?
Yeah, that they need, yes. And my guess is if he plays 15 games the rest of the year, I'll be surprised. I would put that over under 15.
I think
if he's back by August 1st, you got to try to get him every Wainwright game and maybe, you know, one other one a week, and that's it.
Yeah. I guess the Cardinals really can't play hardball here, or because he's Yachty.
No. What would the point be?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they don't want the relationship to end on a bit bad, right. No, I mean, you know, he's been such a great player. Here's a Hall of Fame catcher. Going to have a statue. Going to have his number retired. It's just a shame that he got, you know, is not better physically right now.
So your inkling, and Wainwright made it to be known to all of us, don't say this is my last year. You're betting he's coming back.
If he's healthy and he's pitching well and he thinks he's on a team that has a chance to win and there's a spot for him, I think he'll be back.
Well, all those boxes are checked right now.
Yeah. The only thing I can think of is if they would somehow win the World Series this year and he could go out as a World Series champion, you know, maybe that changes the picture. I don't think he's coming back for, you know, minimum salary. I think there'd have to be some negotiations as far as what the salary would be. I don't think it'd have to be unreasonable.
I thought it would come down to how he pitched this year, and he's pitched very well. So I'm convinced he'll
be back. As long as he's happy, as long as he's having fun, as long as he's pitching well and he's being competitive and he's on a good team with a chance to win, I think he'll be back.
Now, there's something to be said also for kind of going out on top.
Right.
And I maybe not even they don't win the World Series, but they'll make the playoffs. And he continues to pitch well. And I think you need all the confidence in the world to do what they do. And he could be very, very, very confident in himself. But at the same time, you might say, like, man, suppose I'm not as good next year.
I think the lure of 200 wins is out there, too.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be difficult. 190 now.
He's at 190 now. Yeah, he'd have to get on a real roll to get. I mean, he may get to 197 to 198. And to me, that would be an
And then that would be incentive enough. Yeah, I would agree with that. Because I would come back for that.
But let's just say he does pitch next year and he finishes with 210. That's still not enough for Cooperstown, do you think?
I don't know.
He's at 2,000 strikeouts.
It all depends on the ballot. You know, I mean, every year is different in the balloting. You know how, and I mean, he'll get votes. I mean, he's not an automatic Hall of Famer. I mean, he's an automatic Cardinal Hall of Famer. I don't know about the Hall of Fame.
Right. And just by the time you push it down the line, 10 years.
The injuries, you know, look at the years that he lost.
He missed two full years, right? And then he had those years where he wasn't himself, and we all thought he was too old. Actually, he was too injured. Then he comes back and isn't great again. So that's going to be a tough call. All right, let me read a couple of texts for Rob and Alvin. Ramsey's wrong. The Cardinals didn't beg Molina to come back this year.
I don't know that I begged is not the right word, I don't think. I mean, it was a negotiation, you know. Yeah. I mean, I think
the first question was, do you want to play?
Yeah.
And he said, like, yeah, I want to play. I was like, well, okay. I mean, we'll see where it goes, but you're on the team. I don't have a problem with that.
All right. Cole is crushing it today. Nice job, boys. How do you explain Helsley's jump over the last two or three years to unhittable now?
He's healthy. For one,
he had a knee?
He had knee and elbow both surgery. They were both arthroscopic. He said, told me he walked out of the hospital after the surgeries, but still, I think he's just finally healthy. And you know, he's done a lot of physical therapy, a lot of training, I mean, a lot of weight, you know, training to get stronger and healthier. How old is he? 25?
Yeah,
46.
And your center of gravity changes as you mature, and maybe he's just at the point now where the ball is coming out of his hand at the point that it really needs to come out of his hand, and that's part is health, but also it's just like
learning how to pitch.
Yeah, at a certain time you've finally thrown enough pitches, have been in enough situations that you say like I got this. And
you know what else is interesting about him is that he's normal, like as a human being. Sometimes these closers are a little eccentric and out there. This guy just couldn't be any more humble or normal. It's wild. And then I think this text kind of sums it up, how we feel about Kansas basketball here. I love your guest on everything but KU basketball. Right. Makes me want to projectile vomit listening.
All right. Well, tell you
what. You enjoy your national championship,
Matt. Well, you got your chance on December the 10th at Columbia.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And then a week later, we host Indiana. We got a tough non-conference schedule.
You're not playing Washburn every game?
Pittsburgh State's the only
game. Well, and Texas Southern is a home game.
Harbor's on the schedule.
Our HBCU thing, you know, like Texas Southern.
Just text Ryan Robertson. Let's get a competing viewpoint here.
Good to have you in here, man. What do we have come up in the American? Anything new?
Oh, man, we got Earl's got all of his All-American track stars.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's all people really like the end of football season, end of basketball season, end of track season when Earl lists them all. So,
Rob, you're headed Friday.
Going down to Springfield, watch Mr. Graceffo pitch. That's where I'll be coming up in a couple weeks. Also, some other pre-draft stuff coming up middle of July. Did a big piece on Donovan that's still up on the site from last week.
Good stuff. Man, we appreciate you coming in. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you, Frank. City. I told you this earlier. I might go down there a little bit later and watch the automated umpire because I really do want to see that.
Yeah.
They're doing it there.
That's right.
I want to see it.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with Five for Frank. Cole, take it away, sir.